Good morning. This is KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. Parking in downtown Phoenix can be pretty inconvenient as you try to find a space close to where your business appointment or lunch meeting may be, but usually a meter is available, and up until now at least, it's reasonably priced. The Phoenix City Council might vote to change that this month, so get your credit card or a lot of quarters ready. To give us more details is Arizona Republic reporter Eugene Scott. Eugene, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So what might the parking rates change to? Can you give us the variables?
Yes. Well, the maximum they would be $4 an hour, and that is during peak hours. So that means during a Suns game or during a Beyonce concert. And that's in a very isolated part of the city, the downtown. It would be from about First Avenue to 7th Street and from Jefferson Street to Lincoln Street. And so this is still it's yet to be approved by the city council. It's just been approved by the downtown subcommittee.
So tell us a little bit more about what meter hours could be changing. I understand that maybe weekend hours will be going more into effect.
Sure. Right now, you can park as long as you want in downtown Phoenix anywhere on the weekends and on holidays for no cost. And during the weeks, it's 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
But what it will change to if the city council approves is 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., weekends and holidays included.
Coming back to what you said about prime hours, and obviously a Suns game or a Beyonce concert is more fun than going downtown to work or a business appointment, but is prime time also considered this area of business hours, or is there the feeling that could be a problem, so let's not make those prime rate hours either?
Sure. Business day hours will not be considered prime time. There will be variable rates. That's what the whole change really is, varying rates depending on what is happening. But what's likely is that it won't remain what it is now, which is $1.50.
How much money is the city hoping will be brought in by the different rates?
As much as $2 million additional dollars a year.
Okay. And, you know, in the big picture, that doesn't sound like that much.
Well, for a city that just faced a $38 million budget cut or budget deficit, every million matters.
Okay. Do you know how much the city is making from the parking meters now?
Right now, the monthly average revenues are about $140,000 a month.
Okay. What have opponents been saying? I'm sure there are some people who don't want these rates to go up.
Sure. Well, I mean, quite frankly, there are some people that will not come to downtown Phoenix unless parking is free or it's $1.50 max. There are people who certainly do not like the change. But there are people who are definitely supporters of it. But, yeah, there are definitely people who are upset.
And are they upset about the fact that, as you said, they expect it to be almost what we used to say about the colleges in Arizona, as nearly free as possible?
Sure. Well, I mean, people struggle with change, and people don't always understand the need behind why this increase needs to happen. So the city seems to be trying to communicate why something like this has to happen. Phoenix is one of the few cities in the country that has free parking beyond 5 p.m. and charges as cheaply as it does. I mean, their city is significantly smaller than ours that charge way more for parking.
Have you heard any arguments like that, this idea that, you know, we've had it pretty good for a while, so in order to make a little extra money, this makes sense?
Well, yeah, that's the city staff's position. Phoenix, comparatively, for major cities, has long been affordable. I mean, you mentioned the ASU as cheap as possible tuition situation. That's not to dismiss the fact that increases are happening and that things are getting more expensive. But, I mean, to park in Milwaukee, which is a significantly smaller city, they're charging more than their meters run beyond midnight.
Wow. Did Phoenix learn from other cities' experiences?
Oh, yeah. They did they looked at a study that San Francisco did to see which other cities charge beyond past 5 p.m. and how much some cities charge during peak hours. As you can imagine, places like L.A. and New York charge $5 during peak hours.
Wow. Eugene, finally, give us the next step. So the council is going to vote on it. How soon? And how soon would then the changes be implemented?
They will vote on it on June 18th, so next week. they do not yet know when this change will happen, but they will certainly notify residents via website and other informationals as soon as possible.
And without knowing exactly, do you have a feel that it seems like the majority of the council will probably vote for this?
I do not know. The interesting thing with the downtown subcommittee is there's only one council member on the downtown subcommittee from downtown Phoenix. And so, and that's Councilwoman Kate Gallego. I'm very interested in hearing what Councilman Michael Nowakowski is going to say, because while he does not represent that part of the downtown, he definitely still represents it. And I'm really interested, quite frankly, in what fiscal conservatives like Jim Waring and Sal DeCicco are going to say as well.
Well, we'll wait and see. Arizona Republic reporter Eugene Scott. You can follow him on Twitter at @Eugene_Scott. Eugene, thanks.
Thank you.
Phoenix, as Eugene mentioned, is far from the first city to try new technology to deal with downtown parking congestion. Charlie Chippio, research fellow at the Ash Center at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, joins me now. Charlie, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So you've written a little bit about this. I know you've studied it. The Los Angeles and San Francisco have taken some steps to make parking, it seems like, more common sense with the supply and demand concept. How does it seem to be working for them?
Well, you know, in both places, it seems to be working pretty well. I think the one thing that you see, the one thing that both have in common is that overall, the parking rate, what it costs, has either stayed the same or gone down, but the revenue is up slightly. And it seems to me that that's kind of a win-win because essentially, you know, the city is getting more revenue without consumers having to pay more, just based on better utilization.
Did they take the action for the same reason Phoenix is, to try to bring in a little extra money?
I always assume that bringing in a little extra money is never, you know, far from the mind of the city governments that do this kind of thing. But I think that was part of it. I think the other part of it, was it was really also about bringing in money, but in a more indirect way, which is making sometimes congested areas of downtown a little bit more welcoming to people that might want to come and, you know, go to a movie, go to a play, go to dinner, that kind of stuff, by making it a little easier for them to find a place to park.
When we talked to Eugene Scott just a minute ago of the Arizona Republic, we talked about the new meters in the sense that we'll have the variable parking times and it'll change. Can you talk about the high-tech aspect of some of these meters and how that's been a benefit as well?
Yeah, I mean, essentially the way it's worked, Steve, is that they detect when cars come and go, and so they can essentially, you know, based on that, based on the sensors, they can tell what the demand is, and, you know, from the demand, you know, they can then adjust the rate for the parking. When it comes to the sensors and all that kind of stuff and how they work, I would plead guilty to having about the same sense of technology that most riders do, which is next to none. But the idea is that, you know, in San Francisco, for example, every week they change the rates, or, you know, the rates don't always change, but the rates are reviewed every week based on usage. In Los Angeles, I believe it's once a month. But the idea is that you'll always, thanks to the technology, get utilization. I think one thing that people need to understand is this is not something that is like, it's like in real time. It's not like the parking rate changes every 15 minutes or anything. But it's changed quite often.
Well, it's good to hear that they actually check it on a weekly or monthly basis, that it's not just, okay, we made this change and now we'll see what happens.
Right. You know, and the other good thing is the apps, you know, that you can get these apps where you can actually sort of drive into town and you can know exactly where you're going to be able to find some parking spaces. I mean, you know, I live in Boston, and I mean, I got to tell you, that's a revolutionary thought here. And so Phoenix is certainly, population-wise, is a lot bigger than Boston. So I got to think that it's that would certainly make it a little bit easier for people to go into town there as well.
And Charlie, what have you heard about environmental impact? Because you mentioned this idea of an area being more welcoming to folks who want to go downtown, either for a show or dinner or whatnot. Also, this idea that if spaces are more readily available based on the timing of things, that people won't be idling or driving around the block quite as much.
That's right. And, you know, I think, as most of your listeners probably know, you know, that's the point, that's the time when you have the worst environmental impact, when a car is either, you know, idling or moving very slowly. And there's going to be a whole lot less of that, so you are definitely going to have a positive environmental impact as well. You know, to me, it's a lot like the sort of automated tolling ideas. You know, you get a lot of the same benefits, in my view.
Charlie, does the system seem fair? And I wonder about this because when rates, variable or not, if they go up at some point, is there a fear by anyone in a government or elsewhere that it's a have and have not situation? If the rates are too high, folks who may have lower paying jobs won't be able to use the meters anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that could conceivably happen, but I don't think it has been the experience up until now because, you know, say if your goal is to calibrate it such that there's, you know, one free space on, you know, on every block all the time, I mean, I would imagine that, you know, maybe on some blocks in Manhattan or something, you might have extremely high rates, but, you know, it really has not played out that way. Plus, invariably, the other thing that's happened from the cities that have tried this is that what you've gotten is a situation where just a couple of blocks away, you know, from where whatever a main street, you know, in Boston here, it might be near Fenway Park, you know, when there's a baseball game. You know, if you go just a couple of blocks away, invariably the rates there are going down. You know, so I think that I think that while that is something you definitely need to be aware of, that has not been the experience up until now where it's been tried.
So if you can walk a little bit farther, you may not have to pay the higher rate, though.
That's right. So that's another health benefit, right? You walk two or three blocks, you might not otherwise have walked.
And Charlie, finally, are there any challenges that either people didn't think about before they started variable pricing or that things have popped up that you've noticed, you've read about?
Not that I've read about, but I'll tell you, I think that they will certainly come. And the reason I think that we haven't had a lot of unexpected challenges up until now is that the places like Los Angeles and San Francisco that I looked at the closest, you know, these are still pilot programs in a relatively small, limited geographic area. I think undoubtedly when you try to scale this up to a bigger area, you know, I mean, Phoenix is a perfect example because certainly, especially to somebody like me from Boston, Phoenix is a physically, you know, huge city. But I'm sure in that case, there'll be some unexpected challenges. But I haven't seen them anyway in the examples I've looked at because they've been smaller kind of pilot programs.
Charlie Chipio is a research fellow at the Ash Center at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Charlie, thank you for the time.
Well, thank you, Steve. My pleasure.